Thank you for that, and thank you again for being here this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about our theme as we look at Colossians chapter number one, leveling up. And this is something that we've thought about, and it's in verse 10 of Colossians chapter 1, as we mentioned, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. And I hope that's the desire of your life, that we would walk in such a way that we are walking worthy of his relationship with us, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, when we talk about leveling up, I'm going to have a little introduction with the theme, and then we'll get into the verses and the message. But leveling up is actively improving or advancing ourselves in really various areas of life. That could be personal growth, that can be career, relationships, health, a certain skill. And it's a conscious effort to move from where I'm at currently to a better level, and really a higher level. Most people move, but they move backwards. And I hope that's not true of us. But we want to apply this specifically to our faith, our relationship with the Lord, what we do for the Lord. The reason that leveling up in our faith should be important is because, and this is the key that we don't get a lot of times, our faith really affects every single area of your life. Sometimes have the mistaken belief that faith is, you know, we compartmentalized. Faith is faith. Everything else is on its own. It doesn't work that way. Because Christianity is not just something that's on Sunday. It's who we are all the time. And if God's working in us all the time, what's going to happen is it's going to make us better in our actions, our attitudes, which affects every single area of our life. And so don't see faith as something you add to who you are. Faith is who you are. And everything else you're doing as a person of faith. And I don't like that generic term, but I think you know what I'm saying here. Why is leveling up important for our church? Well, we have a mandate from God to reach this world until he comes. We have a commandment from God to care and be compassionate towards those we have come in contact with. I've been a Christian for many years, and again, it's a personal theme, but it's also a church theme. I have been a Christian for a while. I'll say, not that it's a different thing, in California. And over the years, I've seen churches, great churches, that now as I look back, they are no longer great churches. Many of them are a shell of what they once were. They lost their vision for the future. And by the way, I look at these things because I don't want that to ever happen to our church here. I think Long Beach needs a church for the long haul until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. I read a book many years ago, two of them. One was called The 10 Fastest Growing Churches in America and The 10 Fastest Growing Sunday Schools. This was in the late 70s. Most of those churches don't exist anymore because something happened throughout the years. We've been very fortunate. Our church is coming up on, I believe this is this 36 or 37? Someone want to help me? I think it's 37 this year, okay? 37 years, and we're stronger than we've been than we've ever been, and that's how a church should be. It should constantly be growing. And my goal is that 37 years from now, it's still strong, and looking down the road for another 37 years. Now, I think Jesus will come well before then, but I'm not going to use that as an excuse to back off. But there's churches that have lost their passion for their community. They've lost their energy for ministry. They've lost their purpose for existence. I hope we don't do that. More importantly, I hope we don't lose our zeal for the gospel. I could give you many examples. There was a great church in the South, and out of respect for the pastor, many of us would know, I won't say it, a pastor of yesteryear. It was a huge church. It had a huge college. It had a great influence in the area in which it was, there. And the founding pastor left. And this is 30 years, and the church doesn't exist anymore. The college is done. You know, it just, it's done. You go to that city, that church isn't there. You, when I was going to Bible college, there was three Bible colleges of our type that most people considered. That was one of them. It doesn't exist. I remember we were looking at it after we started planning the church in Monterey Park. We were temporarily thinking about starting another church in the Orange County area. And I went to pastor was having me check out church buildings. And I went out and checked out a church building. I met the pastor. He was an older gentleman. And he told me the story about how he started the church. He came out here from the Midwest and started with nothing and built a church. I was thinking they were running 400 or 500 built buildings. The building was still there. The church was down to 8. Over the course of the years, something happened. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not saying this to be critical. I hope you understand that. When I think of things like that, as a pastor, I don't want to see that happen here. I think God is doing something. I want to continue to see that. We tried to help another church restart. They were down to 8 people, and you go there now, they sold the building, they tore it down, there's no longer a church, and they built apartments there. And so as I look at this and we think about leveling up, that's what I'm thinking of. I think sometimes our vision for what God wants to do in these end days is a little bit small, right? I mentioned it before, and I'm not trying to belabor the point, but when we moved into this building a few years ago, and all the staff will tell you, we had built a balcony, and I was saying, the balcony's for later. We don't need it. You ask the staff. We were going to build walls, and we were going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Sunday school classes. We're going to put a wall up there. It's like now we use it every service, even the evening services. And so God's plan is bigger than ours. But what I don't want to happen is just because God's doing something now that we get content with that. Growth is a part of life. When a person stops growing, to be real honest with you, you stop dying. Here's how growth works. You're either going to go forward or backward. You can't just sit still. You think you're sitting still, but what happens is you start to go backwards. And so I don't want us to do that. I want us to have the same love and the same zeal and the same desire. We can't control the results, but we can control our mentality. We can control our actions. And I think when you do that, God just gives the increase. And that's what I want us to remember today. Don't just say, and then let's look at it from your life. Don't just settle for the Christianity you have today. Don't. So, Pastor, when do you get to a point in your life when you have arrived? Probably the day you die. Because then you're with Jesus and you're there. It's a constant growth cycle. We don't want to get complacent because complacency stops us from going forward. We don't want to get content. Contentment's good, but contentment is being content with what God is doing in my life, but never being content in what I'm doing for Him. You understand that? And then coldness. Sometimes we just quit caring. The fact of the matter is that we can keep growing. Remember years ago, someone pointed out this thought to me. You know, there are people who could not speak a language. And by the way, there's millions upon millions, really billions of them. At one point, they couldn't speak a lick of a language. And within a couple years, they were speaking a little bit of it. Within 4 years, they're speaking it fairly fluently. You know who I'm talking about? Every person that's ever lived. When you were born, you didn't speak anything. Oh, you did. You like drooled on yourself and you cried when your diaper was full or you were hungry, right? And then you start saying little words, and then when you get to be 2 or so, you start to string little sentences. By the time you come to school, you can have, now your process is you'll say things that are dumb, but you know, 4 years, you can speak, you can understand. You know why? Because they're curious. They want to grow. They want to catch on. And what happens is we become adults and we quit. And by the way, some of us still need to figure out how to speak the language. Amen? I'm still struggling with that. English was not a good subject for me. But we lose that desire to grow and learn something. I don't want that to happen to us. Now, let me get going here. I'm not going to be long. Paul is writing this epistle from prison. He had never personally been to the church at Colossae. But he had heard of this group of believers, and so he writes to them, and he tells them that he's thankful for them. He's heard of their faith. He has learned of the love that they have. And if you look at the book of Colossians, it's focusing on this theme, the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Preeminence means he's first place in everything. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." He wants to be first in everything. And I think he ought to be first in our life. The reason that's needful is because in those days, he wrote to those believers because Christ was being degraded. There was a false belief called Gnosticism, and it believed in spirits and so forth, and it was kind of trying to level down Jesus Christ. And Paul said, no. He's first. He's different. He's God in the flesh. He is everything. So Paul prays for them that they don't get caught up in this, and that they are growing and not falling for the false doctrine that was being perpetrated where they were at, because it would lead to the destruction of their faith. He's telling them, grow up. Continue to go forward. He's really saying, if you look at our theme, level up. Don't be satisfied with where you're at. You ought to want to go farther. You know, the average athlete in any professional sport never reaches their potential. They get the bag, and they're okay with where they're at, and they don't practice, they don't push. Sometimes the best players aren't necessarily the best players. I heard someone say, it was a former tight end, he was a Hall of Famer, I just was listening to a show one day driving the car, and the host asked him, he goes, how many of the guys in professional football actually work hard to get better? Now listen to me, here's what he said. He goes, it might be 30%. That's crazy. What percentage of Christians are actually trying to level up in their faith? I hope it's not 30%, right? I hope it's better than the lepers we talked about. And so here's the message. We want to look at leveling up. Now, I want to make it practical for us here, and I'm going to give you six really quick thoughts and areas. They're not earth-shattering. You'll understand them. And I hope as we go forward, because in our church, there's things I want to do on a staff level and things we're looking for to reach out, and I want to reach more people, level up. But it starts with all of us in our own personal lives leveling up. And so what are some areas that Paul prayed for them and clued them in where they should level up? Let me give them to you. First of all, we ought to level up in his will. In his will. Look at verse 9. He says, "For this cause also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you." Here's what it is. "And to desire." Paul had a desire for them, so he prayed about it. "That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will." I hope that that's our desire, that we want to level up and knowing what God, when we say God's will, all we're saying is what God wants you to do, where God wants you to be, what God wants to accomplish in your life. We ought to want to know that. And once we know it, we ought to follow it very, very, very clearly. Now, let's make it very simple here. Let's make it very simple here on how we can do that. It's very simple. It's in his word. How do I know what God wants me to do? Do I go to bed tonight and say, "Lord, tell me what to do," and I have this dream? I wouldn't follow a dream, right? How many of you have had crazy dreams? Remember when we first got married, my wife had several dreams. She got up one time, she goes, "I had a crazy dream. I had a dream that King Kong stepped on you." I wasn't excited about that. A while later, she says, "I had another crazy dream." And I'm like, "What? You were at church and there was a tornado and it sucked you away." Well, that's two. Then a while later, this is all the first year, she goes, "I had a dream you were out visiting on the bus route and someone stabbed you to death. By the way, I didn't go on the bus route for a while. Are you with me? I was wearing metal." And I'm like, I wonder what she wants. We didn't even have life insurance. Listen, dreams aren't it. Well, I just had this impression in my head. And sometimes God does that, but we're not sure about that. But you know what I can be sure about? Every word that he wrote in the Word of God. Everything that God says in his word, I know that's what he wants for me, and I need to follow that. And you know what will happen? As you follow that, God will lead you to where he wants you. God will get you to where you need to be. You say, there's so many things that we want. I want this in my family. I want this in my children. I want this in my life. I want this in my career. Can you just follow God and follow his will that he has showed us in his word? By the way, if we don't follow the basics, we're not going to get the others, right? As a Christian, you can ask yourself some questions. Does God want me to go to church? Why do we have church? Because the Bible tells us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's why we have church. And by the way, I believe in for to flourish. And I think as you grow, you should make that a part of your life. For to flourish is Sunday school class, Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, and Thursday night Bible study. We have so much for you. Should I get involved in serving? Yes. God's spoken often about that. If this is your church, find your place. Should I give and invest in the ministry? Yes, and by the way, you do. Thank you for that. Does God really want to work in my life and want me to live a certain way? Yes, it's called righteousness. And so I don't need to pray about those things. Those are all God's will. He says, I want you to increase in the knowledge of his will. But you know what the problem is? Our will gets in the way. Come on now, right? All of us struggle with that. Just rebellion. It's just ingrained in us. And we hear something, we want to fight against it, but as we grow in our faith, that gets less and less. And our desire as we level up will be, you know what? I don't want to hear Steve's will, I want to hear God's will for my life. And so, leveling up in his will, our will. Number two, leveling up in our walk. He says in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now we understand what the word walk means in the New Testament. It's talking about our manner of life, how we live. And he's telling us that, you know, if we're going to level up, here's our goal. We ought to walk worthy of the Lord in a way that represents him well. And he says, unto all pleasing. That should be our desire, to please the Lord. You know what our life on this earth should be? Constantly getting closer to who Jesus Christ is. And you know how you get closer to who Jesus Christ is? You just follow the scripture. The more we follow the scripture, the more that it's a part of our life, the more we will be living like the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I just say something that honors him? By the way, it's just, we ought to walk worthy of him. He has done so much for us. It's amazing. We took the Lord's Supper on New Year's Eve because I want us to think about the Lord and remember him as we go into this year. But so often we receive salvation and then we walk out and we walk in a way and live our lives in a way that have nothing to do with him, but have everything to do about ourselves. That's not walking worthy. He's given us so much. And just answer this question in your mind and this will help you. After all he's done for us, is he asking too much for us to live a life that would honor him, please him, and is worthy of him? I don't think he's asking too much. Quit looking at what the world tells us. Quit looking at look, and you ought to be very careful with what you listen and watch, but, you know, they'll represent Christians as being nutcases. And I'll be honest with you, I've met some. But every Christian is mean-spirited, hypocritical, blah, 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 blah. That's not reality. You know, they portray it that if you live the faith, you'll be a miserable person. Listen, if you're a miserable person, you're not living the faith. The fruit of the Spirit is, first three are love, joy, and peace. And so don't fall for that lie. We ought to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and live in such a way. We level up in our walk because not that we will ever be perfect, but we want to be maturing. And so often we get discouraged when we have a setback. Don't get discouraged when you have a setback. Get up and go forward. We will walk worth. Number three, we ought to level up in our work. He says, being fruitful in every good work. Fruitful means you're bearing fruit. You're producing spiritual fruit. Work means laboring in service. You know what that means? If God has invested in us through salvation, what are we doing to bear fruit with that salvation? Now, there's two types of fruit, right? There's a fruit that's a part of our life. You talk about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, when you're saved and the Spirit of God starts indwelling in you, you know what he does? He produces Christian qualities and characteristics that aren't natural to us. We are inherently sinners. But the Spirit works in us. So when you think about the last point, walking a certain way, you can do it because the Spirit of God will help you to do it. You can have fruit that way. But there's also fruit here he's talking about in laboring for the Lord. That's next level Christianity. That's when we step outside of ourselves and for the sake and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, we serve other people. And by the way, I don't ever want our church to get to a place where we're not doing that. That's when the church starts to die. When the church says, I'm going to come in, I'm going to take up my seat and bless me. And we won't lift a finger to help anybody else. Hey, we're buying the buses, but those buses are not going to run themselves. They're not. You know, we want another wheelchair van. Those rest homes are not going to run themselves. Okay, we have nurseries so the children can be in a place that's better for them. The nurseries are not going to run themselves. Just if you have a child in nursery, just so you know, we don't just open a door, throw them in, and let them fend for themselves. Okay, there's people in there. You know, we have lots of Sunday school classes starting from I believe 4 years old and up. Those classes aren't just going to teach themselves. There's so much we do. Because we're not content with just what we have here. We have a mission to reach our community. And so I hope that we grow. And God wants us to be fruitful. That means God used someone to reach you, and he wants to use you to help others. That's where fruit comes from. Look, if you invest in something, you're not investing $10 in stock or whatever so that you get 10 bucks back. Just hang on to it. You're investing because you want that investment to bear fruit and come back. And that's what God wants for you. Look, if you're a new Christian, I get that you may not understand that. But as you grow, you'll get there. And some of you are there. You need to jump in. What are we doing to be fruitful in every good work? If you're a church member and this is your church, you should say, Lord, where do you want me to be? We've started several ministries over the last few years, and you don't want to see my list. I have a lot more that I want to start. It's just a matter of the right people showing up. And they're going to show up. Because it's like, look, fishing. If you had one line in the water, you have one chance. If you throw 10 lines in the water, you have 10 chances. You know what I want? I want to throw all kinds of lines as far as I can, wherever I can. Because I want to reach everybody I can. I'm weird. I say, Pastor, I already know that. Okay. I just believe if salvation is good for me, I think it'll be good for others. I don't just want to hang on to it. And so let's make sure that we're finding our place in the church. I want to level up number four in our wisdom. And increasing, verse 10 again, finishing it out, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Is your knowledge of the scriptures growing or is it declining? Are you figuring it out more or less? That's why it starts with reading your Bibles. I remember the first time I ever read it through, I was a brand new Christian going to church, and I'm like, I'm going to read this thing. I've never read it in my life. I'm behind. And I read it in 3 months. And I'm like, I understood some of it, but some of it was like, you know, right over your head. Like, what was that all about? But you know, the more I read it, and then the more I was going to Sunday school and church and hearing it preached, and all these different truths started to tie together, I started to get it. And I'd read that story again and like, that's what that's about. And by the way, you know, it's years down the road now. And I still read things and like, oh, you know, I've read that a couple hundred times. How in the world did I not see that last time? Because there's so much in it. And I want to constantly be growing. How are you? Is that your desire? Do you want to level up in wisdom? You should know the Bible. Oh, the Bible's such a hard book to learn. Not if you're not trying. It's not that hard. You know, we know everything about our favorite hobby. Right? Come on now. And I'm not saying there's wrong. There are certain things I've done. It's like, I thought that was dumb. You know, it's like, oh, that's why. Right? You know everything about your sports team. And that's okay. Unless it's the 49ers or the Raiders. It's fine. And then, you know everything about this subject. I remember one time we took a group of kids to youth conference many years ago, before we had our own youth conference. And I'm driving the kids, and I had a group of kids in the back of my car, and they're talking, and this is old school, they were talking about a video game. It's the original Kung Fu game, right? Street Fighter. And I was a youth director. I played a few times with the kids, and I'm the one always laying on their back looking at the sky with stars around my head. I wasn't very good. And they were talking about, like, Chun Li and other fighters. And I thought, you know, you just pick the character. And they're in the back talking about their lives. I guess the characters that fought had a backstory. And after about 5 minutes of that, as I'm driving to youth conference, I'm like, I got to shut these kids up. And I'm like, hey, guys. Chanta was one of them. I remember Chanta. I said, if you guys knew that much about the Bible, you'd be Jesus. And it got real silent. And Chanta goes, ouch. Look, we know what we are interested in. And I think we can understand the Bible if we'll just go at it. Set some goals for yourself. Next, we have two more, and I'll be there very quickly. We ought to level up in our weapons. Look at verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfully. Go strengthened with all might. Strengthened means we are made strong with a might, a power that rests, that's a word they would use, a power on an army. You know what God says? Like, you don't have to do this on your own. See? I think far too many Christians are running out trying to serve God, trying to fight spiritual battles, trying to do things on their own. That's kind of puny, isn't it? We're trying to do the right thing. I'll appreciate that, but we're trying to do it without God's help. I prefer God's help. I prefer that God is backing up what I'm trying to do. And by the way, it's not the other way around now. I'll just wait for God's power. No. God gives you his power as you're trying to do what he's told you to do. He says do it. You say, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do it. And as you do it, he empowers you to do it. We ought to just strengthen up. You know, it's not about self-will. Self-will only goes so far. It's not, and I get it. It's not about manning up. And I'm all for manning up. But you man up by yourself, there ain't much there. And so we ought to level up in our weapons. We have enemies, right? We have the world. When you leave these four walls, you can't watch a football. You can't do anything. There's going to be throwing stuff at you. You have the flesh. And you're trying to do the right thing. And the flesh jumps up and says, do this. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? Something happens, and the first thing in your mind isn't, let's do the Christian thing. It's like, can I rip his head off and ask God for forgiveness? The flesh fights us. And then we have Satan. Satan's not some guy in red with a pitchfork. He's like an angel of light. Subtly throwing things out there. Did God really say that? Is that really what God wants you to do? How do you fight that? We have his strength and his weapons. And then lastly, we need to level up in wealth. Look at verse 12. giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of the what? Inheritance. Do you know we are in God's family? As saints of God, we're children of God. And we have a great spiritual inheritance. How do you level up in your inheritance? You have to focus more on the spiritual things, the eternal things, than we do the worldly things or the temporal things. You see, most of us, if we're not honest, we don't want the spiritual wealth. We want this world stuff. But if we live for eternity, that's where the real wealth is found. Right? Remember, I don't remember years ago, there was a commercial, I think it was a credit card commercial. God bless them. Always trying to get your money, right? You know, taking your kid to a baseball game, you know, and it'd say, you know, tickets are $20 or not anymore. Hot dog is probably $12. You got, it better be good, by the way. You know, parking is this much, and they give you the prices. I remember what they would say at the end. But spending the day with your kid is priceless. I found it funny that a credit card company would tell you that when they're charging you 20% interest. But anyhow. But what they're saying is, you can buy this, you can do this, you can do this, but outside of this, there's something that has more value, relationship with your family, and this and this and that. Well, can I just tell you that that's true on a spiritual level? Some things are just more important than others. And you know what the most important things that we invest in, that we give our time to? Spiritual things. Because we have an inheritance. A spiritual inheritance because we are part of God's family. But we have to think about eternal things. Now, as we start this new year, I want you to level up. You see, a church will only go as far as the people it has in the church. A church is only as strong as the spiritual strength of its members. And by the way, that's why we have a great church. But I'm not content with where we're at. All you got to do is get in a car and drive around, and you see people that have needs. We live in a world that's just super divisive. But yet, there's cohesion, and there's unity in Jesus Christ. We live in a world that has problems they don't have the solutions for. You know what the government's solution at fixing things is? Throw more money at it. And yet Jesus Christ can change a person like that. If we're going to level up on it, we need to level up in our lives. Where is it in your life and in my life? What area does God say it's time to step up here? It's time to level up. There's too much to do. There's too much going on. Maybe you're here and you've been growing, leveling up in growth in your faith, and God's like, hey, why don't you get involved now with the church? Why don't you find a way? Grab some tracks, invite people to church, love somebody, encourage somebody that's new. Let's stand together this morning, if we may. Thank you for listening. I went fast. I want our church to level up, but more than that, I want you to level up in your life. Maybe there's some areas of your Christian life that are going pretty good, right? But maybe there's some areas in your life where you're not leveling up. You've let contentment grab you. You've let things get in your path. Why don't we dedicate ourselves as we come to a new year to say, I will level up. Before we have the invitation, I want to say this. You can't level up unless you've started out. So how do you start out in the Christian faith? You have to be one of God's children. You don't have an inheritance if you're not part of the family. Here's the question. Think about this. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have some doubt? With nobody looking around this morning, you say, Pastor, I think that may be me. I'm not 100% for sure that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. I have some doubt. I can't even give a reason why I'd go to heaven, but that's something I'd like to know for sure. Pastor, would you pray for me? With nobody looking around really quick, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you'll just briefly put your hand up, I'll recognize it. Anybody like that at all? Just raise your hand. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. Piano is going to play this morning. Did God speak to you about areas where you need to level up? As the piano plays, the altar's open. If you want to come pray, why don't you come? Why don't you come?